Tírame magnolias, tírame magnolias.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to WMUC FM 90.5 College Park. This is Moral Hazard. Today is February 5th. It's a Thursday, 2026. It's 10 p.m. Good afternoon, or as we like to say where I'm from, Baltimore, good evening. We're covering news. We're covering news as we do always here at WMUC on 10 p.m. on Thursdays. It doesn't change. It doesn't change. There are three certain things in life: death, taxes, and that Moral Hazard will be here on Thursdays at 10 p.m. talking about the news. That's Eastern Standard Time if you are from Texas, Canada, wherever. If your time's different, you've got to add on the hours so you understand where we're at. Where we're at here at Moral Hazard, what we are up to, what kind of time wavelength we are on. And that time wavelength is EST. When it's daylight savings, it's daylight savings. I can never figure out which one is daylight saving. Is daylight savings the ones that happens in the winter or the summer? I should know this. If I am standing around in this studio, sitting around in the studio, talking about business news, preaching the word of God, the word of the business economic gods, then I should know when daylight savings is. I'm going to go out on a limb and say daylight savings is the one that happens in the summer, and then not daylight savings is what happens in the winter. But I could be wrong. We're going to see. You're listening to WMUC FM 90.5 College Park. Welcome to Moral Hazard. I am your lovely host every Thursday, Stephen Fung. I've been hosting Moral Hazard since the beginning of time, since time immemorial. When you have a memory like me, that's like 3 months. But I've been hosting since 2024. And in that time, I've learned some things. I've learned that nothing actually happens ever in the news. When something happens, something else happens that puts you back right back where you started. And when something doesn't push something to make everything right back where it started, then that something, that change is so small that it's basically not even palpable. It's not even palpable. It's sub-perceptive actions, sub-perceptive changes that happen in the world. Because the world changes slowly, and sometimes it doesn't. But for the most part, the world changes slowly. And that kind of makes it difficult to do, you know, news, to do journalism. So here's what we do here at Moral Hazard. We do sensationalism. We make mountains out of molehills, and you can always trust us to say that something's an issue when it's not, and never the other way around. Never. Unless there being no news is the news. But I don't wanna get you all turned around. The new year, it's the new year. We're 2 months into the new year. I'm still going to say it's a new year. The new year is upon us. Welcome to 2026. You were so used to 2025, but we got 2026 now, and everything's just going a little bit faster than you thought it would go. Things just change a little quickly. We used to go into the new year. Oh, bam. We got a South American president in captivity. Bam. Next week, we're fighting over Greenland. The next week after that, we've actually made crazy threats and then walked them all back. So now everyone hates us and we still get nothing. Welcome to 2026. Welcome to 2026 as an American. This is like the Adam 22 public humiliation ritual for our nation. All right? Everything that should have a, you know, rhyme or reason to it doesn't. We're not doing that anymore. We don't do rhymes. We don't do reason. We just kind of, it's like we're a little freeform jazz, you know? We're very experimental. We're changing the way that, history doesn't repeat. History is jazz, but it sometimes rhymes, you know? Sometimes it doesn't rhyme at all. And that's fine too. That's what makes jazz jazz, you know? Welcome to the new era of American jazz politics. You thought Bill Clinton was where that would happen. Boy, were you wrong. Boy, were you wrong. Bill Clinton's got nothing on this. When he and Monica Lewinsky were woo-hooing, they had no idea what would come next. Now, you know what? I bet when Bill Clinton went to that island, he thought he was the baddest man in the world. Little did he know, he would be the only person that reacted to the, you know, handled that situation in a level-headed manner. And he'll be testifying in front of Congress in late February with his lovely wife, Hillary Rodham Clinton. They will be talking to the House Oversight Committee about their involvement in perhaps what some may call bad behavior in the Caribbean and elsewhere, probably New York as well, I believe. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm getting sidetracked. That's what we do here at Moral Hazard. We get sidetracked. The new year is upon us. And as I said, things change. While your lifelong struggle with going to the gym remains unchanged, you know, your New Year's resolutions, they're gone like that. I bet you had New Year's resolutions. I bet you don't even remember them. Dear listener, I can say with certainty, more likely than not with certainty, but more likely than not, you made New Year's resolutions to better yourself in some way. You didn't do them. You've already forgotten what your New Year's resolution was. Rack your brain. And while you will continue to have it's seasonal. Every single New Year's, you'll come up with this, you know, this way that you want to change, and then you'll fail yourself and you'll forget all about it. And then the next New Year's, you'll say, I failed myself last time. I'm not going to fail myself this time. And you'll fail yourself again. But just as you keep doing that in a cycle, it doesn't change. Unlike that, the world keeps moving. The world keeps changing. We rotate. We go around the sun. But no day is exactly the same as any other. We're always changing slowly, at the very least. You can try and navigate these changes in the world. You can try and navigate it all alone. But if you want to find some solace in the cold, gray landscape of 21st century America, 21st century corporate America, Moral Hazard is with you every Thursday at 10 p.m. to talk about not everything in the world that changes, but we'll talk about business, markets, policy, economics, more, and news about it. You know, this is not financial advice. I think I need to mention that this is not financial advice. All right. When I learn how to invest, maybe I'll start giving you guys financial advice. When I learn how to balance my budget, when I, Samuel L. Jackson, Capital One, when I know what's in my wallet, then maybe I'll start handing out financial advice. When I am Menra Finra Sipic, when I'm that, when I have my Series 6-7, then maybe I'll talk to you about, you know, you should invest in a Roth IRA. You should kill your kid. You should push your son down the stairs. No, I won't give you financial advice. I'm not going to give you financial advice until I have my certification. So don't kill your son yet, but stand by. Yeah. Moral Hazard does not give financial advice. That's the point. Moral Hazard does not give financial advice. Moral Hazard is technically nonprofit. And we don't affiliate with any corporate sponsor or anything like that. We don't sell you anything. We don't have merchandise. We could, but we don't because I'm lazy. The logo isn't even that complicated. I've got the Adobe Illustrator file. I can make merchandise whenever I wanted. The question would be, would I want to wear it? And I already struggle to make Moral Hazard my fun fact when I do icebreakers. At one point, I was really into it, you know. Oh, this would be such a cool icebreaker. Hey, I got a fun fact. I have a radio show. I talk about business news. Nowadays, I don't even want to talk about it. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. I don't even want to say that I have a radio show. Because then people will look me up and they'll see the reels that I post and they'll be like, oh, this guy's crazy. Oh, this guy's fringe. This guy's in the fringe of the business news community. He doesn't talk like Tom Sweeney or Paul Sweeney. He doesn't talk like Tom Keene or Lisa Mateo. He's kind of annoying. His voice is annoying. Oh, I hate this guy. I don't want people to know that there is a digital footprint out there where they can go and find me talking about things I believe in. I don't want to be perceived as believing in anything, which is why from now on, Moral Hazard will not discuss any beliefs, whether they're business, political, economic, what else is there? Legal, market opinions, nothing. We're not going to talk about anything we believe in. We're not going to talk about objective facts because those don't exist. We're not going to talk about beliefs we have because, you know, we're scared. And we're not going to, yeah, that's pretty much it. Those are only two things we could have talked about. And we're not going to talk about it. We're going to do movie reviews for Netflix. We're going to do Netflix. next week we're doing a review of Heated Rivalry on HBO Max. Please tune in. We'd love to hear your opinions on HBO Max's season one of Heated Rivalry. And we'd love to voice ours. Because we're not talking about things we believe in that are important anymore. Nowadays, Moral Hazard's going through a pivot. We're going through a pivot. We're not doing business news. We're not doing economics. We're going to be talking water cooler coworker talk. We're talking about what we thought of The Office. Who's our favorite character from The Office? What's our favorite rom-com? We're going to ask, what's our favorite rom-com? Oh, we're going to talk about what our favorite rom-com is, you know, every single day of the week at lunch. That's what we're going to do. Sorry, I had a coworker that did that. Oh, that really got me. I got myself, man. I felt anger right there. Oh, Jesus. Just thinking about the coworker that asked everyone what their favorite rom-com is every single day. Oh, that got me. Oh, my God. That was a cortisol spike right there. I felt that deep in my soul, like venom. Oh, Jesus. I gotta calm down. You know, jokes aside, I think I get a little mad about things on this show. But yes, what was I saying? Moral Hazard's not a nonprofit. We don't affiliate with any corporate sponsor. We don't sell things. We do have contributors. We have donors. And I'd like to take this time to give a special shout out to our newest donor, Skydance CEO David Ellison, son of Larry Ellison, coincidentally. David Ellison, you have been given WMUC's highest honor. It is nepotism baby of the century. David Ellison, you are nepotism baby. You are the nepotism baby. We don't even do this annually. We give you the award. You are the nepotism baby. This award cannot be revoked. You get to keep it forever, unless you have a kid who you nepotism. David Ellison, you were an objective failure in your career. What were you, like an actor or something? You did nothing. Daddy Ellison had to give you Skydance. Daddy Ellison had to get you a company so you had something to do. If we lived in a real meritocracy, you'd be doing community theater in a suburb in Portland. David Ellison, I don't think you're talented. I don't think you're a good businessman. You're in charge of Skydance. Sure, certainly not based on any, you know, inherent talent for film, for cinema, for television, for production. Well, you're a suit. I know you're the CEO. Oh God, clap it up for David Ellison, CEO of Skydance. You're like Kermit. Someone's Jim Henson. I don't know who. But, you know, give me a chance to look at your financials. I'll figure it out. Give me a chance to look at your org structure, your org chart. I'm sure we'll figure out who Jim Henson is in the Muppet show you've got running at your company. You're not getting HBO Max. Paramount Skydance, you're not getting HBO Max. You don't have the money. It's been going on for months. I am actually so frustrated with this whole back and forth tennis match between Netflix and Paramount Skydance fighting over HBO Max. That Skydance doesn't even have the money. They don't. They literally don't have the money. They're just going off like, but you trust us more, right? Can we get the company? Yeah, I know Netflix has more money and stuff, but like, come on. You know my dad. You know my, it's literally an episode of like, the most frustrating part about the fight between Paramount Skydance and Netflix over who gets to take over Time Warner is exactly what's the word? The implication that the benefit to going with David Ellison's Paramount Skydance instead of Netflix, taking Time Warner the lower offer to go with David Ellison, it, like the implication that they should do it because his dad's powerful, is, it makes my blood boil. It makes my blood boil. David Ellison is such a fraud. He's such a fraud. They wouldn't pick you because you are particularly talented. They wouldn't pick you because you would respect the intellectual property and you wouldn't run the shareholders into the ground. No. You think that David Ellison thinks that Time Warner should pick him because his father, Larry Ellison, was the richest man in the world for 3 days last year. And what? He's friends with the Trump administration? Look, I'm not even picking a side here. The Trump administration has max 3.5 years. They can't go on past 2020. Yeah, I don't understand what we're doing here. Like, what are we talking about? There's no world in which that would benefit you. That would be to your benefit. The Trump administration isn't even weighing in on whether... They're not even saying that, you know, Netflix or Time Warner should take the Skydance deal. What are we doing? Is this about getting through FTC regulations? Because I'll keep it a buck with you. That doesn't make much sense. If it was to get through FTC regulations... I mean, it couldn't even be to get through FTC regulations, because FTC lets anything through. They're like a leaky faucet. Anything gets through these guys. They're like your mom. Anything comes through. They're like Susan Dow. Yeah, but, you know, to be honest, when I think about who will be the better steward of the intellectual property between Time Warner and, or between Paramount Skydance and Netflix when it comes to Time Warner, right? Time Warner's got Bugs Bunny, they've got HBO Max, so they got Bugs Bunny, The Sopranos, The Wire. I think they have Muppets too. I don't know. I think Muppets are Disney. I don't know. But, you know, they got a lot of stuff. They got, Time Warner's got Batman. Yes, DC Comics, right? But when we're talking about that, I think it's important to recognize that Netflix definitely will not be a good steward of whatever Time Warner hands to them. All right? We know what Netflix can do. They can't do much. Netflix as a company was riding on the idea that no one else could do streaming at the time. And then COVID happened and everyone did streaming. And now Netflix sucks. Netflix sucks. They lost the monopoly. And I think it's beautiful that there was literally at no point in Netflix's existence were they ever doing anything particularly irreplicable, right? They didn't have crazy server infrastructure they rent from AWS. They didn't make anything good. They have what? Like, what are the good? What is good original Netflix content? I don't hear much applause for Stranger Things anymore. Squid Game, I guess. B, although I don't even think Squid Game. I think Squid Game's licensed to Netflix. I don't even. I don't want to go that far because I actually don't know about Squid Game. I don't know if that's a Netflix original, if it was licensed, because Netflix does that where they license like some like not well-known stuff. Like they don't even produce it. They just buy it and they're like, it's a Netflix original. They did that for La Casa de Papel, Money House or whatever it's called now. But yeah, I don't know. But Netflix, you know, they run everything in the ground. Netflix, Netflix has Netflix House, right? Time Warner had Six Flags. I wanna put that out there. Time Warner had the partnership with Six Flags. They had the Bugs Bunny ride. They had the Batman ride. They had the Joker ride. That was so cool to me as a kid. Six Flags has since shut down. I've learned that Six Flags actually was not that fun. But as a kid, you know, things were happening. I didn't notice that it wasn't supposed to be like a good experience. I had fun at Six Flags because I got to ride the Joker roller coaster. I got to ride the Batman roller coaster. I got to ride the Wile E. Coyote roller coaster, whatever. I don't really remember them that well. I also remember, I think Six Flags was the first time I ever rode on a roller coaster where you go upside down. That was the first time I ever did that. That was really brave of me. And I was brave just because I loved Batman. And I loved Joker. And I loved Bugs Bunny. I loved Wile E. Coyote. That was my stuff. Time Warner. I love Time Warner. I don't want them to sell to anybody. I love HBO. I love The Wire. I love Sopranos. Haven't seen Sopranos, but I've seen clips, so I love it. I love Adult Swim. I love Rick and Morty. I'm a Redditor. I have a fedora at home. I'm not wearing it today because I got to wear these headphones in the studio. I'm a Redditor. Yeah, I'm a chud. But I forgot what I'm getting sidetracked. Jesus Christ. This is common. This is common to every episode. I get sidetracked. I start talking about something and then I think of something that I like and I start talking about the thing I like and then I get lost. I get sidetracked. I get lost. It's over for me. I've ruined the episode. God. Netflix. I was talking about Six Flags. Netflix has Netflix House. And Netflix House is to Six Flags. Or no. Six Flags is to Netflix House. I can't do analogies. But just know that Netflix House is terrible. Netflix House is like Spirit Halloween. Netflix House, literally is the Spirit Halloween business model. They wait for department stores to go out of business in malls, and then they buy it, and then they, you know, they shove all their stupid decorations in there and their stupid, you know, gimmicks, and then they just shovel. They just shovel millennials. They shovel millennials with 9-to-5 office jobs, doing nothing with nothing jobs who do no work, but their payment keeps the economy afloat by giving people money to spend. So then they go and they spend it at the Netflix House. They go and get Bridgerton tea. They do the Bridgerton paint and sip. They do Squid Games, mini games. They do Stranger Things. And that's all. That's all they do. They don't do anything. Netflix House, they buy the department store space. They fill it with all this nonsense and they host nothing. It's worse than Dave and Buster's. They don't even have real games. It's like the kind of stuff that you do when you like hire like the Disney princesses for the for your little kid's birthday party. They just come in costumes and talk in funny voices and there's nothing else to do and then you go home. That's what Netflix House is. That's what Netflix House does with their prized intellectual property. That's what they do with Stranger Things. That's what they do with, what's that other show? Squid Games. That's what they do with Bridgerton. That's what they'll do to you. You sell out to Netflix, they'll sell you down the river. They're going to load you up with, they're going to hire a bunch of random teenagers to go dress up in wigs and then pretend like they're in your show. You're going to go, if Time Warner sells to Netflix, I guarantee you within the year, there will be a Netflix House live experience where you can pretend to be in The Wire and buy drugs and shoot up heroin. That's what they do. They don't respect the work that they supposedly are creating. They don't respect anything. They will do anything for a dollar. They're like Bob Iger Disney. Speaking of which, Bob Iger has left Disney. He's being replaced by Josh D'Amato. Bob Iger was famous for turning around Disney's streaming service, turning it profitable by actually not creating anything, gutting the budget, and then just sitting on the subscribers they had already instead of making anything new or innovating in any way, just sitting on the intellectual property, sitting on the broken IP laws that this country has that allows you to sit on your stupid Mickey Mouse drawing for 120 years and then you could just collect rent off it. Just keep milking the IP, because you know what? If it's about to expire, we'll just beg Congress to let it go a little longer. Let the IP protections just a little longer, please. The Mickey Mouse. I mean, what? We can't let Mickey Mouse become public domain. What, are we foolish? If Mickey Mouse becomes public domain, then everyone's going to have Mickey Mouse. Then how are we going to sue the corner store in Sinaloa that's got Mickey Mouse painted onto their window? How are we going to sue them into oblivion if we don't have the legal protections for Mickey Mouse? God. What was I talking about? I'm getting so sidetracked. Jesus Christ. But yeah, no. Netflix House sucks. Netflix House, as I said before, it's for millennials with nothing jobs to go and hang out and, you know, not even date night. This is, Netflix House is the kind of place that, like, law firms book corporate outings at. You know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a location in a completely inexplicable spot. That it's got some stupid cheap gimmick that doesn't cost the company a lot of money to book, and it doesn't take a lot of forethought. It doesn't take knowing your employees or caring about what they like. You can just book it, and it's a nice gesture. It shows it's like a pizza party. You know what it's like? Netflix House is the edible arrangements of, like, outings, of date nights, of outings in general. That is what you do when you don't know somebody, but you want to have a little fun night without, you know, showing that you have any, you know, knowledge of their interests or any care for what, you know, they might find fun. It is vanilla. It is plain. It's inoffensive. Netflix House is inoffensive. I have never seen Bridgerton in my life, but I guarantee you, if I took my subordinates, I was like, hey, guys, we're going to go to Bridgerton Paint and Sip. They'll be like, wow, that's so cool. Yay. Yay, Bridgerton Paint and Sip. Oh, that's awesome. But that, yeah, I don't know. Bridgerton's cool, I guess, I think. I don't, is it, what is that like? I don't even know. What is it? I assume it's British people. It's called Bridgerton. What do they? I don't know what they do. I'm sure they have fun. So, anyways, 30 minutes in, we'll do a little introduction. For those of you who are not familiar with the structure of the show, structure of Moral Hazard, those of you not familiar with what we do here Thursdays 10 to 11 EST, We try to cover the past 7 days in business, economics, policy news. Sometimes we cover a little extra. Most of the time we cover a little less. Last week, for example, I was not here. If you perhaps were listening in last week and you thought you heard me, you certainly did not. I was not here. You did not hear me last week. But when I miss something important, when I am here, when I miss something that important that occurred previously, I'll tend to talk about it. But we do have a recency bias. We like to talk about what has happened recently. The reason for that is that what is recent is most important in the world. Do not let the nonprofit label of Moral Hazard distract you. Moral Hazard has ratings to track. We have sales to make. We have a junk bond that was issued to us by Blue Owl Capital that we're underwater on, and we need to do Enron-style accounting fraud to take care of it. I'm getting sidetracked. Moral Hazard is live tonight from South Campus Dining Hall, but we've got some work to do. We've got a PSA to play. After that, we'll talk to you about our alumni of the week, our alum of the week, a UMD alum of the week, but you will just have to wait because I've got a message to you about community forklift.
Community Forklift is a nonprofit secondhand store for home goods and building materials. Shop sustainably for low-cost modern and vintage furniture, art, lumber, hardware, and more for your home or project. Moving out? Consider donating your reusable materials. Community Forklift is located 10 minutes from College Park down Route 1 in Hyattsville. Follow Community Forklift on Instagram to see the latest thrifted finds and visit www.communityforklift.org for salvage store hours.
Okay, they really are called Community Forklift. I thought that, yeah, I was reading the file name. I was like, "That a Community Forklift? What is that?" Yes, we are live from South Dining Hall. UMD Alum of the Week. I know people have been asking, Steven, when are you bringing back Moral Hazard UMD Alum of the Week? We've been missing the UMD alums. We missed when you did Jim Henson UMD Alum of the Week, the puppeteer guy. We love when you did Carly Fiorina, the failed politician. We love when you did Sergey Brin. He's probably done some no-no stuff. We love when you did Kevin Plank, his company. Tough times. They've done some weird stuff, but Under Armour's pretty cool. They have Curry. Just kidding. They lost him. We're bringing back UMD Alum of the Week. And we have a special UMD Alum of the Week because this alum has maintained a strong connection with the university to this day, and he is big in current events right now. Our UMD Alum of the Week, fellas, is Tom McMillan. Give it up for Tom McMillan, everyone. He's not here, but give it up for him. Do a little clap. Do a little golf clap from the comfort of your own home for Tom McMillan. Tom McMillan is an American. He's an American. He's a former congressman, former head of Clinton's task force for like sports activity or something like that. He's a former politician. He's a former businessman. He's a former NBA player. He was on like the Hawks or something. And he is a current member of the University of Maryland's Board of Regents, which means he's basically like on the board of directors for the school. But they gave it a fancy name because, you know, the American university system is feudal. And we've got all these stupid names for things that no one else is using for anything. When have you heard anyone being called a regent outside of, like, universities in real life? Right, but anyways, Tom McMillan's on the University of Maryland's Board of Regents since 2023, although he did a brief stint in the early 2000s. But he's back. He's back on the Board of Regents. Congrats, Tom McMillan, for being UMD Alum of the Week. I've got nothing yet. That's all. That's all I was going to say about Tom McMillan. I've got nothing else to say about Tom McMillan. I don't have any. I've got no comments about anything. There is nothing else about Tom McMillan that I would comment on. You, listener, you, dear listener, do not understand what is happening here. You, dear listener, are hearing live the limits of my tongue in real time. I'm not going to say anything about Tom McMillan until I get my diploma. He is on the Board of Regents at this school. He could smite me. He could smite me right now. He could be turning on his radio. He says, someone's talking about me? Kill him. And they'll do it. He's on the Board of Regents. And he's friends with Jeffrey Epstein. He's not. Take that back. That was a misstep. I was reading a different part of the script. I don't have a script. I was reading a different part of... There's walls here, and they've got things written on the walls. I was reading the writing on the walls. But until I get my diploma, I am forever faithful to UMD's Board of Regents. And I have no qualms about who Tom McMillan calls his friends. You can be friends with whatever financiers, and you can go to whatever islands you want. You can email who you want. You can go to parties in New York City with whatever financiers and socialites you want. Half your age plus seven, that's what I always say. Or half your age plus or minus seven, I always say this. Everyone says, Stephen, you always say this, half your age plus or minus seven. I'm like, yep, that's me. Tom McMillan, you've got my seal of approval. Yeah, I'll have my diploma, please. I love you, Tom McMillan, former NBA player, former politician, former businessman, Tom McMillan. You've got the moral hazard seal of approval. You're doing a great job. If you got any gripes with anybody, you've got gripes with someone else, because I'm not talking about Tom McMillan. Tom McMillan, spotless, not a blemish on his record. On a completely unrelated note, entirely unrelated to Tom McMillan, the Epstein files, which more have been released, a greater trove has been released in the past few days, they're completely rocking the leadership of some major institutions across America. Paul Weiss is a behemoth law firm in the United States, had effectively a mutiny by partners of the firm forcing their chairman, Brad Karp, to walk the plank. Brad Karp, they knew he was connected to Epstein. But when more files came out, they realized he was more connected to Epstein than they expected. And, despite what would otherwise be considered great leadership from Karp, they decided this is not really what we want to have going on right now. And I mean, that's completely fair. I think that's a fair thing to do. It baffles me that someone like Brad Karp, could think that he was just going to make it out, scot-free. You think they were just going to sit on those emails forever? Brad Karp should have come out, should have gotten ahead of things. What I don't understand is that all of these people who end up being involved in the Epstein files, none of them try and get ahead of it. None of them go through. They're like, hey, I knew that guy. Let me make sure that there's nothing crazy that would be in those files for me to have to, handle. No one wants to play defense. Everyone wants to wait till the ball's already flying over their field goal, and then they're like jumping up to try and block it. I don't understand what we're doing. No one's thinking it through anymore. It baffles me. So Brad Karp, somehow still a partner at Paul Weiss. They just forced him to resign as chairman. He still gets to be a partner at this law firm, which, honestly, look at the rest of the partners. You got to investigate the rest of the partners, because they've got at least one email in there. If their reaction to him having an increased involvement with someone of such low moral standing that you could literally get disbarred for it, for him to hide that and for them to have to find out for themselves, and their reaction is to just demote him back to regular partner? He's still making money hand over fist, not doing anything? You should be petitioning for his disbarment. And I don't think... I think this is what people aren't really thinking about. Would you trust... Okay, Brad Karp, one of Brad Karp's clients is the NFL. If you were the NFL commissioner, you're sitting in your office and you get a message from your subordinate that says, hey, actually your lawyer was hanging out with a convicted felon and is all these records are the most infamous felon in America currently. Yeah, he was friends with him. He was hanging out with him when he knew that the guy was doing wrong. I would see that as completely destroying my relationship with my client. I would switch to a different lawyer. Maybe I would petition for this guy to be disbarred. No professional professional accreditation program should allow someone to run around doing things like that. But that's just me. The World Economic Forum. You may know them for hosting Davos. It's called Davos. When the World Economic Forum, they all go to Davos, Switzerland. That's Davos. They hosted that. But the World Economic Forum is investigating their CEO, Jorge Brende, over ties to the aforementioned financier. You may remember... The World Economic Forum is a place where a morally upstanding citizen and President Donald Trump, who would never do anything wrong, went to go and play small stick diplomacy over Greenland. That was really funny because we went and we, threw out objectively fighting words. We were using fighting words over a little block of ice in the North Pole. And it didn't even work. We threw out those fighting words. We said, sorry, just kidding. Now everyone hates us and we don't really get anything. So their CEO, Jorge Brende, is tied to Epstein. He's getting investigated. And it sickens me. It sickens me. The idea that all of these innocent, do-gooder world leaders and all of these innocent do-gooder leaders of these financial institutions could be in the presence at the World Economic Forum, could be in the presence of a monster like Jorge Brende. It sickens me. It terrifies me. It terrifies me. Did they, they don't know how close they came to becoming, To becoming victims of Jorge Brende's evil. But thankfully, all those world leaders get to rest easy at night. Truly, no one could have seen this coming. That the World Economic Forum... That there would be bad people at the World Economic Forum. That's where Emmanuel Macron went with his knee pads. I love Emmanuel Macron. Or not Emmanuel Macron. Jesus Christ. I was thinking of a different guy with veneers. No, Gavin Newsom. Jesus Christ. Gavin Newsom went there with his knee pads doing a little PR stunt. God, I hate that guy. God, Gavin Newsom. Look, no hate to California, but I think California has elected more governors with veneers than any other state. The veneer governor frequency got to be higher than any other state. I don't know, man. They've really got it bad. They're suckers for veneers. It's quite strange how easily they vote for an individual with veneers on. I find those things a bit jarring. I don't know. In what world would I see a politician who looks like they're getting ready for a Colgate commercial? In what world would I see them on a debate stage and I say, Yeah, no, that guy's trustworthy. That guy's like a real person. That guy's real personable. I should vote for him. No, and no, never. Literally never. There's a point where you're so polished, it's like uncanny valley. And I get that with Gavin Newsom. There's no way your hairline is that strong. There's no way your teeth are that white. Like, I mean, that's pretty much it. I don't think he has, I think his skin's like kind of messed up. But other than that, you know, that's those are two things I don't like. I don't like that he dresses so cleanly. He dresses like, well, here's the thing. Gavin Newsom looks like a law firm partner. He looks like an M&A partner, you know? He looks like a trusted advisor. He doesn't look like someone who's a politician. Not a man of the people. Not a man of the people. He's got his Turkish hair transplants. He's got his veneers, you know? I don't know. That's besides the point. He did that stupid gimmick with the knee pads. I hated that. You know? I mean, like, I got the message. Hated the gimmick. You got to be taking care of your city. You got to be taking care of your state. It's a little too early to be teeing up for an election. Sorry, I got myself mad there. It's 2026. It was early 2026. It was January 2026. He's already doing a world tour. That did get me mad, thinking about that. Gavin Newsom was at the World Economic Forum doing a world tour for his presidential run in 2026. Don't nobody want to vote for you, bro. I'd vote for Zoran Mamdani. Now, that's a guy, that's a man of the people. That's a man who, he put bidets in the mayor's house. That's something I can get behind. I've never used a bidet in my life, but I think, you know, that's a pretty cool thing to spend your time doing. Zoran Mamdani doesn't have veneers. But to be fair, I think if Gavin Newsom's wife is cool, then that probably puts him in a tie with Zoran Mamdani. Zoran Mamdani's wife, nah, man. Nah, I can't get behind that. She's a terrible artist. that's the one thing we don't back down from here on Moral Hazard. It's that Zoran Mamdani's wife, Rama Duwaji, makes art for high school history teachers. Rama Duwaji makes art for public school high school history teachers. That's what it is. That's what it is. It's people who don't, it's millennials who just want to get the mess. They want the mess. They want political cartoons. Rama Duwaji makes art with the same level of intricacy and nuance as a Far Side cartoon. She makes GIFs. It's not even close. She makes GIFs. God. And everyone thinks she hung the moon herself because, like, I don't know. I literally don't know what the appeal is. She's not talented. I'm sorry. I have to do more research. Maybe there is, like, some good Rama Duwaji artwork out there. I haven't seen it yet. I've seen a lot of ink drawing GIFs. I've seen a lot of squiggly line caricatures of people, and that's, you know, I've seen better art at Hershey Park. But you know, there's more. Anyways, World Economic Forum aside, there's more shakeup happening. So Peter Mandelson, people might have heard of this already. Peter Mandelson was the UK's ambassador to the US, a Labour Party appointee. And he was an ambassador to the U.S. from the U.K. He had to resign his post over his connections to Jeffrey Epstein. Now, his situation was a bit different. Because there were reports that he had actually divulged sensitive government information to Jeffrey Epstein during the course of their relationship, and also was doing this in exchange for money. They had a relationship where Epstein, reports had shown that they had a relationship where Jeffrey Epstein would give Mandelson and his husband money. Not necessarily in exchange, but as part of their relationship, you could basically say quid pro quo exchange. And so, you know, a lot of things are getting shaken up. There are a lot of people that are getting that are getting their name. They're getting shouted out in these files. Noam Chomsky. Who could have seen that one coming? Noam Chomsky going like, women lie all the time. Whatever he said, all I know is it was crazy. I know someone who had met Noam Chomsky in person, and he was talking about, I had no clue about that. That was crazy. But yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, I'll have to find a different linguist. That's what Noam Chomsky is, right? He's a linguist? Noam Chomsky. Linguistics. Yeah. Noam Chomsky. Oh, you're badly behaved, Noam Chomsky. But so is Sergey Brin. So is, what's this guy's name again? Our, UMD Alum of the Week? Tom McMillan. No, Tom McMillan didn't do anything. Tom McMillan's innocent. I'll have my diploma, please. Thank you. But you know who doesn't involve... You know what doesn't involve Epstein? Elon Musk's SpaceX and XAI. So we're going to do some news, some business news. We'll step aside from... We'll step aside from the shiny, the glittery stuff. And we'll talk about, you know, something a bit more dumb. Elon Musk has merged his XAI and SpaceX companies. He owns both these. XAI owns the X platform, formerly known as Twitter, and Grok, the AI that no one uses. SpaceX does the satellites and the rocket ships. He has merged them together to form what is valued as a single entity that is valued at about $1.25 trillion. And this is ahead of an upcoming IPO. $1.25 trillion is a lot of money to be valued at. All right? There is not a single bank in the United States, and I don't even think the world, that is valued at that amount. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? How much utility could SpaceX put into the world? How much utility could an entity that is SpaceX and XAI and Grok put into the world? I don't know. I mean, I don't really see the vision there, you know? I don't really see the vision. But, I mean, you know, let them have their fun and games. It's a triangular merger. And so in a triangular merger, what this means is that, is a triangular merger with XAI being the affiliate. So in what that means is that SpaceX will be the parent company. And they will own a subsidiary that merges with XAI, and this will form that $1.25 trillion company. So XAI's X platform and Grok, they will be all part of a subsidiary of SpaceX, an insulated balance sheet. SpaceX will be insulated from all the liabilities and the debts and the, you know, the risks that XAI may have and may pose in the future. Which, I don't know, that probably is necessary, given that X's offices in Europe, in France, were just raided, and the investigation in the UK is going on right now, revolving around X's potential bad behavior revolving deepfakes and children, speaking of Epstein. So the question needs to be asked, regarding this market that we find ourselves in today, are we in silly season? Is everybody being silly? And it's just silly season. Someday silly season will end, but right now everyone's silly. That's the question. We're launching literally everything into IPO. First, I mean, SpaceX getting their IPO, Discord's getting their IPO, Bob's Discount Furniture started trading on the stock market today, ticker symbol BOBS, they're down 0.7% on the day. It's not like, at one point it used to feel like the markets were shooting out IPOs like birdshot. It's not that anymore now. Nowadays, they're shooting out IPOs like bugshot. They're throwing spaghetti at the floor and trying to kill a cockroach. Or trying to hit a cockroach. The New York Stock Exchange seems to be breeding new ticker symbols like Amish rabbits breed bunnies, you know? What do you call it? What do you call a baby rabbit? It's not a, is that a bunny? I don't know. But like Amish rabbits breed. Imagine the combination of an Amish person and a rabbit. That is how the New York Stock Exchange seems to be churning out these ticker symbols. And it really does feel like that. But at the same time, for all of the headlines of all the dumbest companies that are somehow getting their IPOs with nothing to their names, how University of Phoenix Online is now a publicly traded company, how Bob's Discount Furniture is a publicly traded company. You know, strangely enough, the number of publicly traded companies since 1998 has net decreased over time. Can you imagine? There used to be so many more stupid companies out there. Companies that didn't need to be there. Well, actually, we don't know if they were stupid. They could have all been smart. Maybe they just all got bought up in mergers and acquisitions because the FTC is wearing blindfolds and, you know, headphones. But, you know, we never know. We'll never know. I mean, you know, every company pre-Sarbanes-Oxley was, you know, just a dumb company. I mean, if you've ever read a pre-Sarbanes-Oxley financial report, it'll make your eyes bleed. Those things are so illegible. They're so nonsensical. They put whatever they want in there. I mean, that's how WorldCom happens. Like, it's because they're, you know, everyone was allowed to make their reports as illegible and ugly as possible. But yeah, so the amount of publicly traded companies is actually decreasing. And the amount of delistings that have happened is staggering. And it makes me think, you know, to some extent, maybe we need companies like Bob's Discount Furniture. Maybe we need companies like Discord and SpaceX and University of Phoenix Online, because the people need to gamble on something. Notice all these delistings happen. And now everyone's betting on Polymarket and Kalshi. We need to bring back the companies that are publicly traded and get rid of all this other nonsense, all right? Let SpaceX IPO with their Triangle merger and, you know, Grok AI and all that. Let three companies be in one ticker symbol and all get mismanaged. That's fine by me. I would much rather people were buying equities than buying prediction markets. But that, you know, maybe that's just me. Maybe the silly season is over. Maybe the silly season is over. Market's down. Who knows? I mean, it's anyone's game right now. Gold is down 10%. Silver's down 40% over the past week. Who knows what can be at? Bitcoin's at $67,000. But that's just me. Anyways, this has been Moral Hazard. I'm not going to go over time today. I'm going to watch my time. This has been Moral Hazard. We're on WMUC-FM 90.5 College Park. Stay tuned. There's always a lovely show happening. There's a new show happening. I don't know this one. I'll have to look it up. But, you know, stay tuned. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
that's not an old enemy.